Hey, before we jump into this week's episode, we wanted to let you know we've partnered with Vacations Worth Melting for a giveaway. So be sure to listen all the way through to the end of this episode for details on how to enter. When you book your Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, or Universal Vacation with Vacations Worth Melting For, you don't have to worry about a single aspect of your trip. Vacations Worth Melting For is an independent travel advisor specializing in family vacations since 2018. She's not your standard travel agent. She does so much more.
Farron takes care of your resort booking, your dining reservations, teaches you how to use the My Disney Experience app, and even creates completely custom daily itineraries for you to use when you're in the parks. Every detail is created just for you and your family. When you hire Farron to take care of your vacation, you'll spend less time waiting in line and more time making memories.
Vacations Worth Melting For, the Disney expert and your fairy godmother. Hey, and welcome to the Mickey in Minutes podcast, the short Disney show.
Quick conversations, information, and inspiration.
I'm your host, Nick Lazaga.
And I'm Andy Goose.
Let's go! Hey, what's going on, Andrew?
Hey, man, we are back.
We're back. This is episode three together of Mickey in Minutes.
Episode three, and also talking about yet again another amazing Disney trip.
That's just what we do here at Mickey in Minutes. Apparently, we just go to Disney World and talk about it.
We promise that there will be different material coming up pretty soon. But just coincidentally, Nick and I both went to Disney pretty close back to back from one another.
This is going to be a great episode. This is a really special episode for a couple reasons.
Ooh, why is that?
Yeah, the first reason you heard right before the intro music, got some special stuff going on with that.
Mm-hmm.
And the second reason is a long overdue guest with us this time. I'm happy for my wife, Chelsea, to be on the show finally. Welcome.
Yes.
Hey guys.
Welcome, Chelsea.
So those of you who have been following Mickey and Minutes for any amount of time, you know her because she's been in pretty much all the social media posts that we've done, all the Disney trip videos on the story she's been in because she's the person I go to Disney with.
And we've mentioned this before or alluded to it when I was introduced on the pod, but my wife and Chelsea went to high school together.
Yes, that is true. We did dance team together.
And that's also kind of how just Nick and I met, of course. So through Chelsea and my wife. So yeah, long overdue to have you on. It's going to be fun.
Thanks for having me.
It's going to be awesome. This is really great. I'm happy that you're finally doing this after like 6 years. I feel like it's partially my fault that you haven't been on yet.
And timing. There's other things.
And timing.
We got lots of material to cover, y'all, because the pod today is going to be the trip report for your Disney trip. You just got back. When did you just get back?
So we were there from February 3rd to February 9th.
But it was booked February 3rd through February 8th.
Cool.
Added a bonus night.
Yeah.
Last minute.
Bonus
night.
Quite
a story.
Y'all came back a day later?
We did.
Let's start there. What happened?
So it was one of those, like, let's try to go to Animal Kingdom. We don't know how much longer Dinosaur is going to be there and really want to go. Let's add an extra park ticket.
Wait, so you didn't go to Animal Kingdom originally?
So here's the thing. If you remember from the last episode, I was talking about how we scheduled our trip and we scheduled our last day to have a really late flight so that we could go to Animal Kingdom on that day. We figured Animal Kingdom is a half day park anyway. Sorry, all you Animal Kingdom stans. But it is, let's be
honest.
Not
untrue, not untrue, yes.
I mean, we also added that park day later.
Yeah, that was an add-on also.
We were going to just get some dinner and shop and then go to the airport late and then realized, wow, we have a full day here.
Might as well just stay.
Yes.
Yeah, and Animal Kingdom was scheduled to close at 6 anyway, so we had a flight scheduled for like maybe 4 o'clock. We figured we can knock everything out before then, but of course, we may have overestimated that a little bit.
Let's ride Everest again and then go to Nomad.
Yeah, so yeah, we decided to ride Everest one more time. Maybe.
So did you just decided like while you were at the park to just like postpone your flight to the following day? And then what about your hotel?
Basically, so we fly Southwest a lot, and they're really good about changing flights.
They
had changed one of our flights originally a few weeks or so before the trip, and so they said that they would do one free flight change for us.
Ooh!
So we had that in the back of our mind the whole time. So when we realized Because we were standing at the bus stop, and anyone who knows Disney bus transportation,
yep,
that takes a long time.
Yes, it does.
So we were standing there, and the bus wasn't getting there. We knew we were running late anyways, so we had to call an audible, and they had a free flight change for us. Anyways, we were already checked out of our hotel, Pop Century.
And where were your bags?
They were at Pop Century.
Okay.
We had actually checked, because we went into the trip knowing if Pop Century had an extra night for that night, we were going to stay. And they never did because it was so busy. We get out of line. The bus still hadn't arrived at Animal Kingdom. Start to walk in, standing by entrance. I'm looking on the Marriott app saying, okay, I'm just going to book a Good Neighbor hotel.
Good Neighbors.
Book one, reschedule our flight, and then we go in and put our name in at Nomad.
Yeah, so we walk back into Animal Kingdom. We're like, you know what? We got a few more hours. Let's go to Nomad Lounge.
Amazing.
I could use a whiskey drink. So
yeah, then we had Disney Springs, then just...
And you could really take your time.
Take our time. It was so good.
Oh, yeah. Incredible. That's so cool. How spontaneous.
This trip was definitely the curveball trip. Little things popped up that we weren't expecting.
Like the Animal Kingdom
Kingdom trip. Busier than expected. Also, we had to switch hotel rooms one night.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. So when we first got there, Andrew, this is crazy. Okay. And this is nothing on Disney hotel rooms or anything like that. And
not Disney hotels, if you're listening, this is nothing.
Always very clean.
Yeah, not
I
a knock.
I even told the manager of housekeeping, we stay here, I'm picky. And if we can stay here all the time and love it, you guys are doing a great job. This has nothing to do with you guys.
So tell us what happened.
Yeah, what happened?
So I'm really big about requesting which room. You can put in your request, but you can call and say, hey, Disney, I would like to request a upper floor away from the pool because no kids.
Okay, so generic location, not necessarily like I want this specific room.
Got a request, but we were put right in front of the most popular smoking spot.
Oh.
So our whole room smelled like cigarettes.
Oh, yeah, that's not what you want.
Doesn't mean that people were smoking in the room. It's just we were second floor directly above the smoking stop.
Yes.
So we opened the door to go in, you know, that grand reveal that everyone looks forward to. Mm-hmm. And we both look at each other. We're like, do you smell cigarettes?
And
it just kind of killed the mood right away.
No.
But at that point, we had a dining reservation for Paddlefish over at Disney Springs.
Oh, yeah.
We had to get to that. And so we're like, we can't take care of this now. I'm sure it's nothing. We were thinking, you know, maybe there's a Disney cast member who maybe was on a smoke break who came in to clean the room and they kind of came in with their clothes. We don't know. We didn't know where
or
we were.
Or somebody
benefit of the
by.
Doubt. Giving the benefit of the doubt to Disney, of course.
And like we opened the door and waved it around a couple times.
No, that's not going to do a whole lot.
But besides that, the room was delightfully
the
clean.
The sheets didn't smell like it. It was the air in the room.
Yeah. And so, you know, fast forward to coming back after some time at Disney Springs and the Grand Floridian. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Nice.
But we came back and we're like, oh wait, the smell should be gone by now. But it wasn't. It was the same situation. So we called down to the front desk. They were as cool as they could be. The hotel was booked at 100% capacity, dude.
Oof.
So they're like, we cannot move you right now. We'll be able to move you tomorrow. You're gonna need to stay one night in that room. And so they sent up somebody.
It was the housekeeping manager, and she was super nice. She came in and she sprayed a deodorizing spray around the windows. Super nice. Didn't help.
Yeah.
But,
but they, you know, they
could say they did something.
They did something. They tried.
Oh, yeah. Man. Interesting. That's a first.
Yeah. So we were able to move the next day, but I don't want to pile on to Pop Century. Because I love this hotel. But they had told us, you know, when you go to leave for the park the next morning, leave everything packed up.
Give us a call and tell us how many bags you have. And we'll move your bags to the new room.
Okay. Yeah, that's what they said. And so, again, fast forward. We finish a crazy long day at Magic Kingdom. And we get to our new room and no bags.
Of course not.
The bags were not there. So we called down to the front desk and we spoke to a manager, and the manager said, yeah, the bags should have been there. I'm so sorry. We're going to get to the bottom of that. He was super nice.
Did they go to the wrong room?
Oh, no, the bags? No. Okay. The bags were being held at Bell Services. Apparently there was a, uh, a mix up thinking that we were going to get the bags, but we were told that the bags were going to be brought to the room.
Yeah.
The manager said that that's the procedure for that kind of situation, that they would move the bags to the room. He was super nice. He was like, is there anything else we need? I mentioned that Chelsea forgot her toothbrush.
Oh, yeah.
So, and
curveballs.
Yeah, curveballs, I'm telling you. So okay. We were like, is there
that's
any
the
way?
That's the theme of today's episode, is just curveballs.
Curveballs. He was like, you know what? I'll send you up a little toiletry kit. He also sent up some water bottles. He called like a couple times to check on the bags being up to the room. Just
they called
to make
the next
sure.
Day too. Like they were all on top of it.
Man, did they like get you a reservation at Ohana that night or something?
No. they got us a free toothbrush and water bottles. Andrew. Oh,
the least they could do.
And our bags. Yes.
And your bags.
They did bring them in the room. The second room was perfect.
Yeah, second room
like,
was
it smelled like lavender and Cinderella.
Her name was on the screen still. Like,
yeah,
it was great.
That welcome Lazaga family was there again. It was delightful once that was worked out. I love Pop Century. That, you know, again, they were booked solid.
Yeah.
Dude, so while we were there, there was a dance competition. Right after that was a cheerleading competition.
Mega
well,
con.
So let's touch on that for a second. Mm-hmm. So you're there early to mid February. It's the end of the Christmas season. One would think that this would technically be what I guess is used to be considered off season, but I guess from everything that you just said about 100% capacity at the hotels, it seems like that was not the case.
Not only were we fooled into thinking this would be a slow weekend, but also there's a website that we love that they provide crowd calendars. And all the crowd calendars, I read these off on the last episode. They were all low numbers for crowds.
Magic
Remember?
Kingdom was supposed to be a 2.
And
that's right.
It was not. They posted like
they failed
what
you,
it
man.
Ended up being. And it was like everything was like between 6s and 9s, bro.
Eesh.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of just like, I mean, Disney World is already a touristy place to begin with, but then like extra tourists, you know, cheerleaders or Pro Bowl fans on top of that. How did that affect your ability to, I don't know, I guess, of course, like get the Genie Pluses you wanted, the lighting lanes you wanted?
So, yeah. So we were able to still do everything we wanted to do. But again, with the idea of curveballs, we had to make some choices, especially on our Epcot day, which we'll talk about. We had to leave a couple things on the table.
Some sacrifices.
Yeah. We're pretty used to doing everything like twice or 3 times.
Of course. Because,
you know, we know how to work the system. But this time we did every single thing we wanted to do, but there were some things we couldn't double or triple like we typically do. And
you mentioned, or I guess we brought up that this was a little bit more of a go with the flow trip. As experienced Disney goers as you are, let's do a little bit of a comparison. You've had many Disney trips where, kind of like how we referenced in last episode, time is money at Disney World, and you go in with a strict plan. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. Having now done the opposite end of a little bit more go with the flow, how do they compare? Did you enjoy yourselves a little bit more or less? Did you wish that you were still on your strict schedule?
Speaking from me personally, I love routines. I'm a routine
me too.
Guy. Oh yeah. And when you go to Disney as often as we all do, mm-hmm. You might fall into these little routines, things that you love to do. And that doesn't mean that they're bad, but sometimes you want to try different things, eat at different places. Hence going to Paddlefish at Disney Springs.
How was Paddlefish?
Dude, it was incredible.
Okay. We've never been there.
Of the trip.
Yeah. Dang. So it's a delightful seafood restaurant. I had a shrimp pasta. It was amazing.
Awesome.
Crab cake burger.
She had crab cake burger.
It was delicious. It was like a crab cake BLT. I would have loved a little bit more sauce to it, but it was delicious. Came with homemade chips and those sausage and peppers. A chorizo. Ooh.
Star of the show, chorizo and peppers.
He says it a lot better than I do.
It's like Cuban blood.
Chorizo.
Yes.
Chorizo.
Oh, but so good. And it's right on the water. You can watch the cars float on by.
So question for y'all. You were there for Festival of the Arts though, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Because that was probably one of my favorite days of the trip.
It's
because
the best.
It was different. So like we stayed on the Skyliner route.
How so different?
Well, it was different in the sense that was one of the parks we couldn't double up on a lot of stuff. And
yes.
We had to sacrifice some of the lower tier attractions that we love in order to do a lot more festival stuff. But that was a choice, you know? So, for example, like I love Three Caballeros, right? In Mexico.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We had to skip that. We had to skip Nemo. We had to skip
even the, you skip even Nemo. Like how long of a wait was Nemo? Nemo was never more than 15 minutes. You just didn't have time to do it at all.
Yeah, it's not that it was a wait. It was that we had some things planned that we wanted to do. So our big idea for that day was we wanted to hit Festival Booth and we wanted to meet one particular artist. So at Festival of the Arts, at Festival of the Arts, they bring in artists from all over the world.
Oh yeah.
And they sell their pieces and you could meet a lot of these artists. So we were holding out to meet one artist in particular. His name is Scooter. And
just Scooter?
Just Scooter, like Madonna, right? So Scooter, his art style is very like 60s, like postmodern style.
Like pop art kind of?
Very like, think like Mad Men.
Yes,
like,
okay, that. Yeah. Oh, cool. Got it.
Pan Am.
Like Pan Am kind of style, yeah. Whole era. He did a whole line of stuff exclusive to Festival of the Arts, and it's like Mickey and Minnie doing like cute things, right? So
I'm looking up Scooter artists right now. I'm looking at these prints, and it's very, very vintage style, almost like Mickey and Minnie are in an I Love Lucy frame.
Exactly, nice. Yeah. And so what's also amazing about Scooter is that he was a Walt Disney Animation Studios animator for 10 years.
Oh, what has he done?
So he worked on Pocahontas, Hunchback of Notre Dame, Mulan, Tarzan, Fantasia 2000, Emperor's New Groove, Lilo and Stitch, Brother Bear, and several shorts. And he did all of this while working out of the old studio that used to be in MGM Studios, Florida. So he's legit. Like,
That's so cool.
And so it wasn't just meeting this awesome artist and buying a couple of pieces, but it was also meeting a Disney animator and
signing art pieces,
which is it's really cool. So you knew about this artist going in. Did you know the specific print you were looking for going into, or just hoping that he had it?
We looked up which artists were going to be there signing the week that we were there, the day that we were there. And and Scooter was definitely the artist that piqued both our attention. And
we had our eye on two pieces in particular. One of them was a picture of Mickey and Minnie dancing in front of a vinyl record player, which I collect vinyl records. So that was awesome.
In that style, in that 60s style.
Yeah. Exactly, cool. The other one was Mickey and Minnie enjoying coffee.
Those two pieces were the ones that had to come home with us.
Yeah, and he posted on Instagram when he was meeting. So again, we kind of planned our day around that, around meeting this artist.
Him? You met him, or you were planning to meet him. Oh, that's amazing.
So we planned to meet him. We successfully met him. He was such a nice dude.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
That he signed our prints for us.
Awesome.
We chatted with him. Took pictures with us.
Yeah, he took his time, hanging out with us. We talked to him for, maybe 5 or so minutes.
Oh, that's the best.
I want to plug him. Anyone listening, go check
Scooter.
Out artofscooter.com. Check him out on Facebook at Art of Scooter Art and on Instagram at Art of Scooter. He is such a nice guy and does amazing work. We have two of his pieces in our home now.
I'm so pumped for y'all.
Yeah, it was awesome. These specific pieces are Festival of the Arts exclusive, so you can't buy them online anymore.
And he signed them.
And he signed them.
He said that they might come back next Festival of the Arts. So if you see something that you like, just keep an eye out for next February. He'll be at Epcot again, he said, and he'll probably bring some of these back.
Every time I saw an Instagram post with someone holding the record picture, I was like, oh no, please don't sell out.
But along with Festival of the Arts is just the snacks.
Just like all the other Epcot festivals, they had a ton of festival booths there with foods and drinks, and it was incredible. Do you want to talk about some of the ones that we went to?
So Craftsman's Courtyard, that grilled marinated skirt steak roll sandwich had caramelized onions, which were delicious, and the blue cheese on that was fresh.
I don't like blue cheese, and I like that. It was really
awesome. Good. Oh, and it was soft. It was delicious.
And where was it? Where in World Showcase?
That was towards the beginning of World Showcase, right around before you split off into Mexico and Canada, that little middle area.
Because I guess, does the Festival of the Arts food booths match the world that, or I guess the country that they're in front of? Or
some of them do, and some of them don't. There are more food booths than there are countries. So a lot of them are just kind of scattered around. And there are a handful of them that are in the old future world area, so like World Discovery, World Celebration, yeah. World Nature.
Mm-hmm. That's
aren't
a good point.
Part of the countries anymore.
And
that's
that
a
was
good point.
typically the area we stayed in. We didn't really taste a lot from the countries.
Yeah. Okay.
That we picked our items before we went. Like these are
oh
our
wow.
picks.
Okay.
That's another just tip for going to the to any of the festivals, really,
true.
Is plan ahead what you want to snack on and what you want to drink, because it could be overwhelming once you're there. At that same Craftsman Courtyard booth, I had a coffee old-fashioned cocktail.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, combining two of my favorite things, that's coffee and bourbon. And it was a pre-mixed cocktail. They had it, you know, mixing
okay,
in the back.
Yeah.
But, you know, for these kind of booths, they have to be like that just for making it
true.
Quicker. I will say the bourbon was the star of that drink.
Oh, amazing. I'm so jealous.
It
sounds
it was,
so good.
It was great.
What
we
was
also
your favorite food item of the booth
from
that we tried?
Just in general, anywhere at Epcot.
Let's see. I really liked at Pop Eats. They had the tomato soup and grilled cheese, which sounds like super generic, but I'll tell you, this grilled cheese was elevated. It had pimento cheese, bacon, and fried green tomato, and
okay,
it was delicious.
Because I guess
Came
when
in
you
out.
Said that, I think of Andy's Lunchbox in
no,
Hollywood.
This was like way elevated. It
Okay.
was spectacular, and you know, you dip it in the tomato soup. I had a little souvenir soup can that said like Epcot Pop Eats, and it was really
did you
good.
Keep it?
Oh
Did you
yes.
Keep it? Yeah.
Oh yes.
You know, it's on a shelf.
Yes,
on
of
a
course.
shelf
Yeah.
Already. That's a shelfie for sure.
Oh yeah, and of course, I think Instagram wise, the star of the festival was Figment, of course. So we went to Figment's Inspiration Station at the Odyssey, and this was a food booth.
Oh,
and
okay. No, yeah. I'm not
yes,
familiar with this.
It is dedicated to the Figment.
Yeah.
Figment themed food.
So the Odyssey, for those of you who don't know, the Odyssey was an opening day restaurant at Epcot, and it's not a restaurant anymore. Now they use it to rotate different themes for different festivals. So
okay.
During Flower and Garden, it was an Orange Bird theme. During the last Food and Wine Festival, I think it was Muppet themed.
Yes.
Before
jealous.
that,
I would
it
have
was,
loved that.
yeah, it was pretty great. Before all that, they had it set up as like an Epcot preview center for all the renovations going on. They called it the Epcot Experience.
Okay. When you said that, now I know exactly where that
with
is.
With all the
right.
lights
yes.
Right. over.
Yes.
Little models.
Yeah. Yep. So in there, that's where you can get the Instagram famous Imagination Pavilion popcorn bucket, which of course we got. It's shaped like the Imagination Pavilion, those big pyramids, the glass pyramids, and
yes.
it has a little Figment inside it. It looks like he's diving into the popcorn. It's so cute. It lights up.
And we have a great story because I was so excited to get this popcorn bucket, and so was Nick, that we walk over to the guy and he's like, "Wow, you both look so happy. Are you newlyweds?" And we're like,
"Oh."
"No, we're just very excited about this popcorn bucket." But
yeah,
I'm in love with this.
He's like, "You guys are so cute. You guys are must be newlywed." Nope. We're here for that popcorn bucket.
We love that.
Just leave it to a popcorn bucket to
there
reignite your marriage, right? Reignite
right.
the
Perfect.
Spark inside of each other.
Can we just, that pretty much sums up hashtag Disney adults, right?
There you go. There you go.
Hashtag Disney adult marriage.
Yeah, there we go.
Excitement.
But what I loved from there is I had the rainbow beer flight. It was three beers.
Okay.
Two of them from Tampa, one of them from Ohio. One of them was green, one of them was blue, and the other one was purple, right?
Are they brewed that way or did they dye them?
I'm guessing that's how they come from these breweries specifically
okay.
for this festival.
Okay.
So it was like a rainbow flight in the whole Figment vibe, and it was delightful.
That's cool.
They
no food?
We also had the blueberry filled pastry tart
there
with
you go.
A purple icing, which was very good.
Awesome. Figment is kind of making a renaissance,
yes.
a comeback in these day and ages.
Back in the day, he used to meet with the Dreamfinder, which was another character that came from the original Figment ride. And Figment was a little puppet that was held by Dreamfinder.
Oh,
now,
cool.
Yeah, now he's an actual walk around character. And so we met him, you know, we gave him a hug. He was looking
great.
At our popcorn bucket. He lit up our popcorn bucket.
Oh, that's
and,
cool. And he's a more popular costume character, right? I remember you referring to the lines when he first came out being insane.
Yeah, when he first came onto the scene recently, The lines were crazy. We caught him at a good time today and didn't really have to wait very long. Actually, we were like the next people in line, and he had to go share one of his great imagination things with the Dreamfinder. Yes,
of course.
And so he was going to come back in a few minutes, and the great cast members gave us these Imagination Pavilion postcards for waiting. Oh, cool. Super cool souvenir. He came back really quickly. We met him. It was awesome. Yeah, Figment.
He pulled the tab on our popcorn bucket.
Yeah, we're glad we're not trying to resell that.
Come on, Figment.
Come on, Figment.
You know better.
You destroyed the resale value of this popcorn bucket, Figment.
You had no idea this would sit on the shelf for the next 40 years.
What did you think of the Moana water walkthrough?
I know you had feelings about this, Andrew. I know you kind of expressed...
It was circumstantial. It was very circumstantial.
So, yeah, you expressed that you didn't get to interact with it because it was so crowded. So we decided this would be one of the very first things we do on our Epcot day. Actually, we went to Soarin' first because they were featuring Soarin' over California, the original Soarin' for a bit.
Oh, wow. Cool.
So we got to experience that. It was
oranges.
Awesome. Yeah, the orange smell. Oh, delightful.
Yeah.
I have a hot take. I would have been upset that Soarin' Around the World was not being shown.
No!
Oh, really? is a hot take, Andrew.
I think that Soarin' Around the World is a far superior Soarin' experience than Soarin' Over California.
Oh,
Soarin' Over California is adorable, but I love Soarin' Over the World. It's like, yes, this is what we want.
What I'm hearing, Andrew, is that you are a fan of crooked Eiffel Towers.
Oh, get out of here. I mean, it's kind of kooky.
I love Around the World, but just Soarin' Over California just takes me back to being a youngin in the parks.
The nostalgia is there. Yeah. The nostalgia is there, but Soarin' Over the World, I don't know. It's just like, it's more grandiose.
And, you know, obviously it's newer, so the video quality is better. Watching Soarin' Over California again, it looked a little fuzzy.
That's my point.
Still Christmas at Disneyland.
It ends with Christmas at Disneyland.
Disneyland.
Yeah. From there, we went over to Moana, Journey of Water, and we experienced it second, and there was not very many people there yet.
No one there.
Oh, see, that would have been cool.
It's really nice.
We got to do everything.
If there was nobody there, and that you weren't concerned about the safety of your three-year-old, then yes, I could see it being super fun. Yeah. And really, I just had a little bit of frustration at the massive Tafiti that they had that you could take a picture in front of. That was so beautiful. But obviously, that's the photo op moment for everybody. So it was just a horde of people trying to squeeze in, get a selfie. You know, everyone's just kind of in each other's way. And I really would have loved to have gotten like a proper picture in front of Tafiti because that's such a cool part of that walkthrough.
Yeah.
Was there a photo pass photographer when you were there?
It was way too crowded. Yeah, it would have been inopportune for that person to even be there. I would have been worried for that person's safety had he or she been there.
There was someone when we were there the first time because we did it pretty back to back.
No, literally back to back.
Yes, we walked in.
Lucky.
But there was a line, and so families were able to get that photo moment with Tafiti when we were there. But it was first thing in the morning.
Yeah, it was really
manageable, or even like that kind of a crowd is reasonable.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know what this is a water, interactive water play area, like walkthrough thing. So the water, like in the movie, the water is playful, as they say. And in this attraction, all the water does different things. And so there's one where you like put your hand through these little water.
And it sounds things. Like guitar strings.
It makes guitar noise.
It's also teaching you about the water cycle and protecting our water resources and how it interacts with us in life.
And it's right next to the seas, which it goes hand in hand with next to the Nemo, right?
In world nature.
Yeah.
In world nature.
The story goes supposedly that this was always planned for world nature, but it wasn't going to have a Moana theme. And then some executives were like, we need IP in this park. And, you know, so they
maybe
they
a put previous a Moana. CEO.
Yes.
Yeah. You know,
insert name here. You all know it.
An unnamed Disney CEO.
That's how the story goes. But as far as putting a Moana like overlay, I was skeptical about whether or not it would fit in Epcot. I was thinking, it gives off Animal Kingdom vibes, you know, but I will say it worked really well in the sense that it was edutainment, which was Epcot's original vision. And we had, you know, the Moana stuff wasn't overwhelming. It wasn't in your face, Moana. It was a little bit more subtle, and it was really just a beautiful thing. I mean, I say subtle besides the giant Tafiti.
Yes.
I wanted her bigger.
That's true. Yeah. You know what? She could have been bigger.
She could have been bigger.
So also at Epcot, I loved the new World Celebration Garden area.
Yeah, it was cool. I liked
the
it too.
The Walt statue was great. I love those.
Did you see it at night?
We walked through both during the day, during night. Cool. I think that every park deserves a Walt statue themed to that park.
Oh, that's okay. That's cool. Yeah, that's cool. Like Magic Kingdom.
There's only one to go, I guess.
There's two. There's no Walt statue in Studios, and there's no Walt statue in Animal Kingdom. And I feel like there's things that they can make Walt tributes to.
Oh, easy. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. We're talking about new things. Out of the trip, what are the highlights of new things that you've done? I mean, you can't say Guardians and Tron anymore, because I know that you've done those many, many times. But any comments on any new adventures?
First of all, Guardians, Andrew, I got my favorite song again. Everybody Wants to Rule the World. So I was super stoked on that.
Awesome. But that's not new.
That's not new.
I really enjoyed Enchanted Rose.
What is Enchanted Rose?
It is the bar at the Grand Floridian Resort.
Oh, very cool.
It is beautiful.
Themed to Beauty and the Beast, of course.
Yes. And there's three rooms. The forest, which is where we sat.
They called it the green room.
The room, which had the bar, and it had this chandelier to represent the dress.
That chandelier was gorgeous.
Oh,
it was
sick.
Yes.
This very it looked like this yellow.
It was yellow. Oh, yeah. Cool. Yes. Oh, that's amazing.
And then there was the library or the study.
Yeah.
And
but it was like, again, it's not like if you've ever been to the Beauty and the Beast restaurant in the Magic Kingdom, that's kind of similar vibes. Be Our Guest, yeah. But this lounge, think of it like
I'm thinking
all that
elegant,
bounding,
extremely elegant, yeah. Ooh. Like a bound, like
yes. Oh, cool, subtle.
Yes. Yeah.
The light fixtures in the forest room looked like these tree branches.
Oh, cool,
really pretty.
Had little crystal leaves where the lights sparkled. That's really cool.
Yeah. So would you recommend this as like a date night to our listeners?
I would. Apparently they have really good Parmesan truffle fries. We have not tried those, our drinks were great.
Mistake.
I know.
I want those now.
Oh.
Yeah. The drinks were great though. Chelsea had this drink called an Island Rose. It was vodka and rose water and pineapple. Do you like that?
I did. It was very sweet, but not like sugary sweet. It didn't taste like a candy. It tasted just fruity sweets.
Yeah, and I'm typically a whiskey drink kind of person, but I wanted to get one of the signature cocktails stay in theme, so I had this drink called the Floral Bitter Beauty. It was a gin cocktail with elderflower, and it was actually really good. Kind of different from what I usually order, but it was really good. Mm. But what was funny, we were sitting there at this lounge, and from where we were sitting, we could look down to the pool splash pad area,
yeah,
which was themed to Alice in Wonderland. But we're like, you know what? It kind of works from up here if you're thinking about Beauty and the Beast.
Be Our Guest.
Like, because it looked like, it was like the tea scene from the movie. So I had like teapots and like teacups and stuff like that squirted out water. And it made us think of Be Our Guest. So we're like, you know what?
Okay.
You squint a little bit, turn your head to the side. It works.
and my thing, in the movie Beauty and the Beast, there is a coat rack that wears a top hat. So the top hat in my head is from that and not the Mad Hatter.
That's true. And
There we go.
To be specific, this lounge is actually themed to the movie, the live action Beauty and the Beast. Yes. So in the library, it has like the clock and the candelabra from the live action movie.
Oh, like what Cogsworth looks like.
Yes.
Exactly. Oh, that's sick. That's cool.
Yeah. It was really great. There's one more thing I want to talk about for Epcot. So we saw the new fireworks show at Epcot.
Oh, yeah.
Luminous.
Okay.
This was the replacement of Harmonious, which was the replacement of Epcot Forever, which was the replacement of the greatest Epcot fireworks show of all times, Illuminations, Reflections.
Illuminations.
And so I just want to share some thoughts here on Luminous.
Go for it. Yeah.
Maybe it's a hot take. I'm not sure.
You're my hot take.
Uh-oh.
It's not good, Andrew.
Ooh, we did not see it, so I can't comment. And also, too, I guess something about me that is very different than Chelsea and Nick is I usually cheat and watch YouTube videos of the walkthroughs of all rides and the shows and the fireworks and the parades. And I have not seen this one. So I should do that.
Disney, we
what's
love
your opinion?
You. We love you. But I feel like when Disney was getting the criticism for Harmonious, which another hot take, I liked Harmonious. Just putting that out there. I'm one of those
we
people
just
who
hated
like
the sight line.
Yeah, the sightline for Harmonious were awful because of the big like Stargate circle thing. You can only see it from like two angles. But I feel like a lot
Stargate
of the notes
circle.
It was like the Stargate thing.
No, it's very spot on. Yeah, I'm laughing because you're right.
Same there.
Yeah, and the fact that it was up permanently, just obstructing views of
World
Showcase.
That's true. It was an eyesore.
And the other thing that people complained about was the music. It ended up being, you know, Harmonious was very, it was a Disney greatest hits thing again, right? But what was cool about that is that the songs were sung in different languages.
Yes.
According to, you know, where the country of origin was for those films. The thing with Luminous, I feel like people told Disney, this is what you should fix. And I don't think they were listening. So
really?
What they did fix is the sightline issue. There are no giant barges that stay there all day that block sightlines. That's
good.
Great.
Good.
But this was another just Disney sing-along show, right? But the song choices were really strange.
Like what?
And
like Somebody Loved Me.
From Toy Story 2.
Are you like I looked over at Nick and I'm like, I am sad. Like, I should not feel sad during a nighttime spectacular.
You don't want to
beautiful
end
song.
Episode.
Beautiful
yes,
song.
Yes, not saying it.
Does not belong
fireworks.
In a fireworks show.
All right. And so here's a kind of a pro tip. We posted up, like, right next to the America Gardens Theater, leaning up against the railing at World Showcase Lagoon. And I think the issue there, and part of the reason I didn't like the show, was because we were really far from a speaker. So they have the speakers placed all around World Showcase where you can hear the music and the narration.
Yeah. You're pretty good about that.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe we were too close to the actual pavilion and there were no speakers to our left.
Mm.
And the speaker to our right was kind of far away.
Mm.
So
like
I was
in a blind spot.
Yeah, I was literally straining to hear. I couldn't hear half the narration.
That's circumstantial. That part is circumstantial.
That part's circumstantial. But what I gathered from it...
Somebody Love Me, there's no excuse for that.
No.
It's a story of, like, life from, like, birth to, like, you know, the end of life. It's very, like...
But nothing about, like, the countries.
It had nothing to do with Epcot. And then, like...
Bummer.
Okay, I do have one great story from it. This poor woman was maybe five people down from us, and she was directly in front of a firework cannon. And every single time that cannon went off, she would just scream and get so terrified. And then our whole, like, every, you couldn't hear the music because everybody was laughing so hard.
It was really funny.
Time to move.
Not to laugh at someone's expense,
but time to move.
I mean, she laughed. But...
So that was probably the coolest thing about the show were these perimeter fireworks that were shooting off towards the middle of the lagoon.
Okay.
But we walked away from that show like, this is kind of a downer. But also, here's the thing. And I'm going to get real, like, Disney nerd on you. Every park has its own identity.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And when you start having fireworks shows that could be interchangeable, that's when I think you have a problem. And
I agree.
Think that was the good thing about Illuminations was that it was
true.
Wholeheartedly Epcot.
Yes.
Right? Right now at Magic Kingdom, you have Happily Ever After, and it's spectacular. It's beautiful. It's Magic Kingdom, right? At Studios, you have Fantasmic, which has the live show element, you know, that the stunts
the
and stuff. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's Studios, right?
Studios.
At Epcot, we just have another Disney greatest hits type show that doesn't
like World of Color in Disneyland. You could put it anywhere. It's just like just a generic Disney sing-along event.
Exactly. And I feel like that's where Disney lost their footing.
Yeah.
I can't get over that. I have a disbelief that is used in that show.
But can we also talk about the fact that there is no Toy Story in Epcot? That property doesn't exist in that. It's in two parks and Epcot is not one of them.
They should have just kept
Oh man, I'm dying.
One little spark. One little spark.
Yeah, let's say that Epcot Forever was, I think, besides Illumination, the most Epcot, you know, fireworks
Yeah.
show there
Yeah,
was.
yeah,
It
yeah.
had
Was
all
it
these
all
songs from all
songs?
the old pavilions. I feel like a lot of like new Disney fans had no idea what half those songs were. Like when they're playing Veggie Veggie Fruit Fruit, half the people at Epcot are
What?
like, "What is this?"
What?
But you know,
Dude.
but right now this show, at least that was Epcot. At least that felt like Epcot. This show, I'm sorry, Disney, you missed the mark. You know, I think this is kind of a
Wow.
hot take episode.
Wow. Hot take and curveballs. So I guess
Yes. But it was a great
Lazaga's,
trip.
yes,
I don't understand.
final thoughts on your trip. All in all, we had a lot of good things, a few curveballs being thrown.
We did everything. So I think we knocked those curveballs out of the park.
When you're in Disney, yeah, you can throw any curveball at you, but if you're in Disney, come on, you can't lose. You're in Disney. So yeah.
Amazing. Well, Chelsea, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This was so fun. Sorry it took so long, 6 years, but it's
Yeah.
not too long. We'll have you on again. This is awesome.
Thanks,
But with
guys.
that being said, Nicholas, we have quite the fun event going on, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. So our friend over at Vacations Worth Melting For has put together this awesome giveaway for you.
What do we got for him?
So we have the Disney Eats Popcorn Box Crossbody Bag. This is a cute, cute purse. I saw it in person when I was in Disney. It's adorable.
Yeah, it is.
There's also an exclusive 2024 Festival of the Arts pin with Figment on it. You can't buy that in the parks anymore because the festival's over.
Our boy Figment.
Oh yeah. And a Disney water bottle carrier. It's super cute. It can attach to the side of the purse or to your belt or your bag, and it holds the water bottle with this cute little Mickey shape. It's awesome. And so in order to enter this exclusive giveaway, you're gonna have to do a few things. So you're gonna have to, on Instagram, follow at Mickey and Minutes. Follow at Vacations Worth Melting For, like the post with the giveaway on it, comment and tag a friend on that post, and listen to this episode of the podcast and DM us your answer to the following question. Andrew, what's the question?
What is your favorite Disney World snack?
Yep, send that answer to us in a DM. For bonus entries, you could add that post to your story and tag both at Mickey and Minutes and Vacations Worth Melting For. Now, this giveaway is not associated with Instagram or Disney. You must be 18 or older to enter, and you must live in the continental US. The winner will be contacted only by at Mickey and Minutes on Instagram. So if anybody else contacts you, it's not real. It has to come from the official Mickey and Minutes Instagram account.
And don't worry, we're going to be reposting on Instagram with all of these rules to remind you and for you to reference later.
Yep. Thanks so much for listening, guys. This has been awesome.
See you next time.
Thanks again for listening to the Mickey and Minutes podcast. If you liked it, subscribe and leave a review on Apple or Spotify. Follow us on Instagram at Mickey and Minutes and check out mickeyandminutes.weebly.com for show notes and exclusive content.